Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Mallory's Weird World Adventures, the podcast. I'm your host, Mallory, and I'm here to show you just how weird this world of ours really is. So welcome back to our podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the Pump House in Richmond, Virginia. Richmond, Virginia is my hometown, so it is dear to me. And something I really love about Richmond is that there's so much history. There's a lot of old buildings. There's a lot of weird history, a lot of allegedly haunted places. So it's a really fun place to be at Halloween time. There's also the church where Patrick Henry gave his famous speech, "Give me liberty or give me death," is actually right down the street from my old modeling agent that I used to have here. And right over by that is the Edgar Allan Poe House. So the Poe Association is here, and there's a museum dedicated to Poe since he spent a lot of his life in Richmond, Virginia. And along the lines of that, today I'm going to talk about two really interesting places kind of down near the James River. One of them is the New Pump House, and the other is Belle Isle. First, we're going to talk about the Pump House because I actually went there for an interview for the Mallory's Adventures blog and for the Weird World Adventures TV show, and we learned some really interesting things. It's a really weird place, which is great because that's what this is all about, but you know, it's funny because it's alongside this really nice park area, and it's kind of right on and near the water. It's on the canal and near the James River, and you know, you're kind of just like on this dead-end road that seems to not go anywhere. It actually leads to a nice series of hiking trails, and on them, just right in the middle, is the Pump House. And there's a bridge that kind of takes you over from the road to the Pump House building, and then you can continue on and walk right by it and go through some of the hiking trails there. And right away, it's this new Gothic style of building from, you know, back in the late 1800s. And it was actually even almost out of style, funny enough, in the late 1800s. But it's gorgeous. It looks like a castle. And I think it stands out to people right away because it is this old stone castle-like structure building just sitting picturesquely on the water. And the backside of it just has this giant open loft balcony space. So it immediately just takes your breath away. And we visited there on this bright, sunny, beautiful day. The sky was unbelievably blue. The trees are so green right now. And then bam, there's this old-looking castle building in Richmond, Virginia, kind of, you know, looming over the water. And I mean, you're going to want to take that picture. It's beautiful. So I think that's immediately why it stands out. Also, the fact that so many old buildings in Richmond are made out of brick, and most of the structure of this is stone. And that also just makes it stand out immediately in the style. I mean, there's not very many of the new Gothic style buildings in Richmond. So that alone also really makes it stand out. And it's, you know, a ruin. There's a lot of ruins that are kind of scattered around Belle Isle and the James River. And this is, I mean, the most beautiful of the ruins that I have seen, to be quite honest with you. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Pump House, the experience that I had there, and then kind of go into more of the history of that area of Richmond, because it's a lot of weird haunted history on Belle Isle. And it's funny because I grew up here and I didn't even know that a lot of these places were supposedly haunted, because they were just things that I saw, places I visited many, many times, and I never personally had experiences, so I didn't even think past it. Why is this the new Pump House, even though it was built in the late 1800s? Well, the old Pump House is still kind of in ruins as well along the James River, but it was originally built underneath of Hollywood Cemetery, which is the big old cemetery on the James River, and they were apparently worried about dead people juice. This was told to me by the person that gave us the tour, so credible here. Afraid that dead people juice would get into the water supply that was being pumped up from the, you know, canal and the river. So they didn't want it to be there anymore. So they moved it up the river a little bit to kind of dilute it and keep it away from the dead people juices. That's a really fun word. Here's a description of its original functions from the National Park Service. A municipal industrial building whose purpose was to house the Richmond City Waterworks. The building, which served as the city's waterworks from 1883 until 1924, is conveniently situated to draw water from the James River and Kanawha Canal, as well as its own smaller canal. The facility pumped water uphill from the canals to the Bird Park Reservoir, the city's main water supply. Far from being entirely utilitarian, however, the pump house was also a popular gathering place until the late 19th and early 20th centuries. So, you heard that right. This is why I think it's so unique. It wasn't just a pump house to get water for the water supply from the river. It was also an event space. And when we had our tour, you know, we saw obviously both the event space, like there's this ballroom above the waterworks, and then the industrial room where they would have pumped all of the water out of. And there's like a catwalk style walkway above where all the machinery would have been for guests to come down from the event space and just spend some time watching the machinery work. And he did say that he didn't think it was that loud, because, I mean, you know, they're still having their events and it wasn't interrupted, but it did apparently vibrate a lot, so there was a lot of vibrations and potentially shaking. But I guess that didn't stop the Richmond elite from having lavish parties and events in that space. I wanted to ask if there was any famous people or, you know, famous events, things of note that took place there. And he said that there's not really any good examples, but they did find some newspaper clippings and weird pieces of articles that do state and validate that people were having events there. And I'm sure it was likely the elite of Richmond. So the pump house is located in Richmond's Bird Park District. A lot of people call it the Bird Park Pump House. And it was constructed in the 1880s. And its purpose, like we said, was to move water up the hill from the James River into, you know, the drinking supply reservoir. And it can move about 12 million gallons of drinking water per day. And for perspective, Penn had told me, the person that was giving the tour, that's about 17 Olympic-sized swimming pools. So that's how much water it could pull up there in a day. And of course, back during that time, the cleanliness standards were not always ideal. So people were getting cholera and typhoid and many illnesses from the water supply. So it was something that, you know, had to be thought out and handled with care. Maybe that's why people were concerned about the leaking dead people juices and switched the pump house over to the new location. I'm sure that's surely part of it. But so it was efficient, but the water wasn't quite clean and pure at that time. And I guess their purification standards at the time weren't that great. Something else kind of cool that he did say, speaking of that, was during World War I, it was still functioning. And there were soldiers that were stationed outside whose sole job was to guard the water supply. So they were there to make sure that the enemies didn't poison the water, which is interesting. I mean, I guess that makes sense, but there's some apparently great photos and videos out there, you know, from historic archives of the soldiers guarding the water supply of Richmond during the war. The Gothic structure of the building was designed by city engineer Colonel Wilfred Emery Cutshaw. He also designed many of Richmond's streets and lost a leg fighting for the Confederacy in the Civil War. When you first walk into the pump house, there's a building that was added much later. It wasn't there when the building was originally put together, but it was put just a bit later. But you can actually see where the old entrance was and where the new entrance was and where they had tried to replicate it. So we kind of came in and Penn was waiting for us to give the tour and the interview, and you have to have hard hats when you go in because it's, you know, currently under renovation. It's not considered safe. So we put on the hard hats, you know, we met in there. He kind of showed us that entry room, And then there was, the room where the generator used to be, and it had lots of, scraps of metal and things that they had found in the building that they're trying to preserve, pieces of the original architecture and structure that have kind of been lost for time, pieces of the glass windows. And the windows is one of the projects they're really working on now because everything was boarded up not too long ago. They had just recently replaced some of the windows, and then others are much more elaborate. The original windows had these star designs, and they're beautiful, and they actually did reconstruct one full piece of window to, have on display potentially when all of this is over with their renovation work. And, they want to kind of replicate something to be practical but still showcase, the beauty of what the pump house used to look like. So the windows are a big part of it. So a lot of the restoration efforts are happening in those first two rooms. And then you walk into the actual big, giant space that used to be used to pump the water. And, I love abandoned buildings. And as far as abandoned buildings go, this really just satiated that need for urban exploration. It was beautiful. It was large and open. It had still some of the equipment and machinery in the water, even though a lot of it had been moved out. There was this elaborate spiral staircase that took you up to a different catwalk, not the one that visitors would see, but that kind of went over the structure, probably to monitor the machinery, why they would put this gorgeous, elaborate staircase that twists and winds in this old building. Who knows? It was supposed to be an industrial building, but, they went all out for the way that it looked. So he had said if you had been there back in 1883 to about 1924, you would see the pumps that are actually, there were 9 in total, divided into sets of 3, so 3 sets of 3. But since it closed in 1929, the building has obviously fallen into disrepair because it was an old industrial building and, people forgot about it. The windows in a lot of their, like I said, up until about a year ago were boarded up. And only in the last year or so have they been redone in parts to bring natural light into the room. And now it's just beautiful and definitely worth the sight. So more on the practical side of the engineering of the pump house, since we're now talking about the main room where the water was pumped out of. It was completed, as I mentioned, in 1883 after 2 years of construction, and the pump house was a centerpiece of Richmond's sophisticated network of waterways. Not only did it serve as the city's waterworks headquarters, but also the main pumping station. As we mentioned, it could pump 12 million gallons of water a day, which is just insane. The building is made of granite stones and features a plethora of extravagant elements and ornaments. It features elongated lancet windows and Gothic arches, pitch slated roofs, lattice openings, as well as gables that protrude outward. And no one will blame you for making the mistake that this building was a medieval abbey because, like I said, it looks like a castle. So that's a little bit about, the industrial side of it. When you walk up through, so you're going to go up one set of stairs and it takes you to the catwalk. So you can walk across the catwalk and see where the machinery used to be, kind of overlooking the room that you were just in. And then you can go up an additional flight and it takes you to the event space. Now, the event space, it's really wild. So it's the only thing on that top second floor of the building. When you first walk out, back when it was lively and, a practical event space early on, it was open. So, you have the stone walls with a couple rooms on each side of the elongated building here. And the space is open long ways. And then at each end, there's a room. And then the long open walls at the time were just pillars. And it was open, so you could get a beautiful view of the water because, you're standing right at the canal. And then, you're positioned in a way where back during that time, the foliage might not have been as green and as large. So you would also probably see the James River. So it was meant to give you this weird industrial feel location for your event while also giving you picturesque views of the James River. And it had this lively vibration because it's pumping all of that water. So it was surely a weird spot that many elite, rich people that wanted to throw a unique, like, well, no one else has had a party like this, party at. And then after a bit of time being open with both of the sides just fully open up there, they realized that the wind was not good and the weather conditions weren't always good for their events. So they did kind of close it up with these beautiful stained glass windows. And here's where it's interesting. They weren't actually sure if it was sealed up on both sides. They believed that it was. But one side still has these gorgeous, like, hanging arch picturesque windows. Like, there was stained glass at the very top where you can see where the windows used to be before they kind of gave out when the building went into disrepair. So there's still, you know, parts of the windows that are in place there. And, you know, now they put giant boards because of the wind and weather. But the other side that's open to the water is just open. And there are no clues, no remnants left behind of this stained glass or that windows were ever there at all. So they're wondering, did they only cover one side? Because it looks like in the records that both sides were covered, but maybe the city of Richmond took out and saved or did something with the side windows, the ones that overlook the canal and the water, because they're so pristinely cut out, it's like there was never anything there at all, which is interesting. So from a historical standpoint, there's this mystery of, well, these windows were said to be put in. What could have possibly happened to them? There's no sign of them, despite the fact that everything else in the building, you know, is here, despite having gone into disrepair. Following World War II, the pump house was listed for demolition, yet luckily enough, it was purchased for a measly $1 by the First Presbyterian Church, sparing its fate. Over the years, numerous cases of spooky paranormal activity have been reported there. In fact, it was classified by several ghost hunters as quote-unquote extremely haunted. Who knows what that definition means, but apparently it's been said by a lot of people that it is very, very haunted. Supposedly, a specific reoccurring sight is of Daniel Tetweiler, a person who, according to some sources, committed suicide inside the building, and so his restless spirit forever stays in there, caught between this world and the next. And despite being closed to the public, urban explorers and ghost hunters still try to raid the building every now and then. Now, guys, I have to say, I have explored an abandoned building or two in my time when they are fully and completely abandoned, and there's just an easy way in without, you know, demarcations, without having to destroy things. Like, if there's just, oh, here's this open, weird ruin, I'm all about it. But when this building has been bought and run and operated by the Friends of Pump House is the organization running it now, and they're trying to restore it and make it something beautiful again for the city of Richmond, it's really, really horrible to vandalize it, to come in and, you know, and leave a mark, to mess it up. You know, they were telling me that people are coming in from underneath where the water is, you know, climbing through stuff, like the way that people are getting in insane ways. And so they have to keep boarding things up. And then, you know, people are vandalizing. People are trying to spray paint. Don't do that. You know, people used saws and wire cutters and things to try to break through the locks or the windows. And, you know, these people are spending so much time and effort and love and money to renovate this place to make it something wonderful again. And it's really horrible when people are coming in the middle of the night and destroying it to try to get to see it, especially when they host open tours every month. So just, you know, do the research. Don't do that. Don't go in and trespass and defile places that are working hard to, you know, become renovated into something new. And, you know, follow the Pump House. They're on all social media at the Friends of Pump House. And you can come and take a tour, which are free, by the way. The tours are free. I believe they host them about once a month. So you can reach out, see when they're hosting the tour, and sign up for it and get to see it for what it is, you know, in the right way. I mean, that's just the way to go about it. So tucked away behind the building's rear, the middle waterway there, is a vestige of the historically renowned project known as the Kanawha Canal. It was first envisioned by U.S. President George Washington, creating seamless passages between the East Coast, Richmond's industrial heartland, the Mississippi River, and finally the Gulf of Mexico. So George Washington himself had a hand in orchestrating some of these canals back when boat traffic was, again, one of the main means of transportation. A lack of funds as well as frequent floods were only some of the reasons why this was never fully executed. However, an 11-kilometer-long waterway was constructed parallel to Richmond's James River, circumventing the White Rapids to make this river more easy to navigate. And this is also cool. This site is surrounded by thick woodland trees that run between all of these canals and Belle Isle and the James around that area. So there are tons of hiking trails. The start at the pump house when you pass it is just off of a hiking trail. So you can go and explore the area, walk by, get to see it and all its beauty from the outside. And if you want to go inside and see it, make sure you reach out to them to see when they're conducting tours. It'll never be a pumping station again. But as far as the future of the pump house, they're trying to turn this old building back into another event space. And I think that's such a nice, you know, nod, and it's an honorable thing to do for this building that was this bizarre event space on top of the pump house for the waterway. And it would be amazing to preserve that history and make it an event space yet again. So, you know, their plan up at the top is to turn the top part that was an event space back into an event space. They're going to redo the entire roof because the roof is not in good condition. And they're going to put in a ramp so it's, you know, friendly for everyone. You know, people with disabilities can also make it up there. They're going to put a ramp from up on the hill outside the water that goes directly into the second floor, the second story floor there, so that people can make it to the event space that are disabled. So they're, you know, they're already thinking about that. And, you know, it's going to take a lot of effort because a lot of the side rooms and things are just in complete disrepair. But that's part of the plan. The windows are also a nice big project. But ideally, down the line, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, but their restoration efforts are going to turn this into hopefully another event space. And then down below where the water pumps used to be, they'd like to make it a museum. So they'd like to have people be able to walk through and take tours and kind of see remnants of what used to happen in the pump house with the event space over top. There's a nice little boat area there, so they were thinking maybe having, you know, kayak rentals and a boat landing and things for people to do in the water around the area. So they have a lot of ideas to turn it into this functional recreational site, and I just think that's fantastic. They were also thinking about maybe having, you know, a tourism center in the building there, having some kind of, you know, tourist information. So they have a lot of ideas. There's a lot of things that could happen, and I think that's really exciting. And, you know, at the time, I mean, this is another reason why I think the efforts are so valuable. At the time when they built the pump house, the cost was about $400,000. So that's about $10.5 million to $12 million today. So they spent a lot of money to make this lavish building. So being able to save the facade of it, which is gorgeous, because there's nothing like it in Richmond, I think that would be a perfect event space. People are already reaching out to them all the time now to try to have weddings there. And they can't do it because it can only accommodate 20 people and you'd have to have a hard hat. Which, I mean, aside from the hard hat, I'd take it. It sounds pretty nice. There's also up on the second floor out on this outskirts of the event space, an old toilet. Because that's another problem here. They don't have any actual sewage and water flow in there. So, you know, they'd have to build a whole septic system because the toilet that's in there now that people use when it was an event space back when it was open is a toilet with just this nice open pipe that drops all the water out into the canal, which is obviously not practical anymore today. And it's funny that they wanted to keep the pump house as far away from the dead people juice as possible, but we're fine dumping our feces and excrements into the canal, which is now pumping the water up into the drinking reserves. Good call there. Luckily, in 2002, it was listed on the National Register of Historic Places, so it is safe. They hold annual events each year as well, and I think this is a great idea. They have paranormal investigations that come in. They're thinking about doing a live paranormal investigation for people to come, you know, and get tickets and participate in Halloween time. And specifically, the Poe Museum, like I had mentioned before, has an Edgar Allan Poe impersonator who comes in to read ghost stories at Halloween time, which I am definitely going to do this year. It sounds amazing. And they were quoted of saying this is the most serious renovation effort in the last 100 years. A lot of people have talked about it, but nobody's, you know, put in the time and dedication and money, but they've had so many volunteers and they came together to announce it, and so many people contribute their time and so many donors that they are hopeful and excited to see what it could become in the not-too-distant future. And I agree, because, again, weird neo-Gothic-style building in Richmond, Virginia, which is not normal, that was built to be a pump house, which is also not normal, which actually served as a weird event space. So I love it. I can't wait to do the hikes near there because it all looked so beautiful, but I was very blessed to be able to get to go and take that tour. Now, this is right near, as I mentioned, Belle Isle, which is a nice little island in the middle of the James River, right there in the heart of Richmond. The only thing I knew it as when I was a little girl was a place to go and jump on the rocks by the water and sit and picnic with my family. So, you know, there's this nice island that has all these old historical buildings and ruins on it. I didn't care at all about that when I was a kid. We would just walk onto the island by this hanging bridge that is hanging underneath one of the big roadways there over the James River. So you're kind of swaying in this hanging bridge over the James River, which goes on for quite a while, to get to this island. And then there's this spot where you can climb down, and there's just tons of rocks in the James, and you can walk around the rocks and picnic and hop around, and it's a really magical spot. I mean, I spent a lot of time there growing up. So as I mentioned, it's a small island in the middle of the James River. It's filled with bicycle trails and hiking trails and is a popular recreational site. As a native to Richmond, I know that about Belle Isle. I didn't even know the rich and weird history that it has. So over the years, the island has performed a number of different roles. It was once used as a prisoner of war camp, for example, and it also had its own functioning little society at one point as well. It was a nail factory, school, church, and general store. So from the 1600s to the 1700s, it was first explored by Captain John Smith in 1607. He called it Broad Rock Island, likely due to its large number of broad rocks. So the rocks that we like to play on and explore on today, those are the ones that, I guess, irritated John Smith as he came up the James, and he called it Broad Rock Island. But due to Native American populations being hostile towards settlement in the region, the actual founding of Richmond was delayed until 1742. So the Powhatan Indians did inhabit the island for a long time, and as mentioned, it was first explored by Captain John Smith in 1607. It's pretty close to Jamestown. It's about an hour out, because Jamestown is in Williamsburg, which is also just something to note. And one of the earliest mentions of Belle Isle is by William Byrd, who described the island as an agreeable hermitage for any good Christian who had a mind to retire from the world. So, like we said, it was founded in 1742, and then a fishery was built on the island. Then it was transformed in 1814 when Old Dominion Iron and Nail Company established a nail factory and ironworks site on the island. It was right before the Civil War, and in that time, I guess the industry was booming enough just on the island where there was a school, a church, and a general store there as well, making it its own community. And then Belle Isle Manufacturing, which manufactured copper kettles, had also established itself on the island during the 1800s. Moonshine was popular in the 1800s, too, and the demand was large enough that in 1836, Belle Isle Manufacturing acquired the island's ironworks and enlarged it to suit their needs. Then the Old Dominion Iron and Nail Works acquired the Belle Isle Manufacturing Company. And during the war, so this is the Civil War, Old Dominion created high-quality horse and mule shoes along with camp equipment, including copper and kettles. So because of all of that, Belle Isle became an important production center during the Civil War. It became even more productive when parts of Belle Isle were converted into a prisoner of war camp, when prisoners of war and slaves supplemented the labor force at Belle Isle. So they kind of kept the factories on the island, put the prisoners of war on the island, and then forced them into labor at the factories. Approximately 20,000 prisoners would pass through this camp. And at some point, the small isle was home to as many as 6,000 prisoners of war. That's crazy because it's a tiny, tiny, tiny island. I mean, it's in a river. It was continued to be used as a factory after the Civil War, and the ironworks went back to manufacturing nails instead of camp supplies and warship plating. And then basically it all stayed open until it closed in 1972, which is surprisingly more modern than I thought. And in 1904, the Virginia Electric Power Company established a hydroelectric power plant on Belle Isle as well, which you can still see the ruins of today. It's pretty wild. And it would remain in operation until 1967, providing power to Richmond and the factories of Belle Isle. So a lot of these old abandoned buildings that I grew up with on the island actually didn't even close until the 1960s and 70s, which is pretty interesting. It was once the oldest continuously operated industrial site in the Richmond area and was also one of the oldest industrial sites in America. So as small as it seems, it has a very rich and bizarre history. And today, despite the fact that nothing on the island is operational and it's more of a recreational spot, it's a really great place to relax, explore, and make memories. I mean, it's been so important to me my whole life because it was some of the best memories I had with my family, being able to just go out on the river and hang out in the rocks and, you know, soak in the history that you knew was there, even though I had no idea how extensive this history was. So because of that, everyone says that Belle Isle has ghosts. It supposedly has ghosts that were there from the prisoners of war, ghosts from early settlers that didn't make it, and the ghosts of the Native Americans that used to run around the area. Supposedly, it is extremely haunted, despite the fact that, you know, I've gone there my entire life and not experienced anything. So I guess I'm going to end this here. If you're ever in Richmond, Virginia, there are so many places I could recommend, but the most impressive and amazing part of Richmond is its rich and wild history. And that kind of starts with some of the natural spots because, like I said, it was a big spot for the Powhatan Indians. And Belle Isle and the rocks and the river and that entire area was a huge fishing spot for the Powhatan Indians. Belle Isle itself has an incredible history with the industrial age there, and I mean the fact that it was a prisoner of war camp for so long, there was a lot going on as far as the history of the Industrial Revolution and the Civil War. So it's a hot spot for that, and it's also just a beautiful place. And then the Pump House is just one of the few buildings in the area that is still standing from all of this history that you can see, and you can actually sign up for a tour to go explore and see it from the inside to kind of get a peek of that industrial time period, which is really fascinating. So there's a lot of things you can do in Richmond, Virginia. I really, really, really highly recommend that you do that. And I will have more recommendations for you soon because we're definitely going to connect with the Edgar Allan Poe Society here and the Poe Museum and get more involved in talking about Edgar Allan Poe's footprints in Richmond, Virginia. So that's another fun, weird historical piece of my hometown that I'd like to share with you all at a different time. Thank you guys so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed this. And until next time, make sure you stay weird.